Well, something we love to do as a church is to open God's Word together on a Sunday and during the week and to ask God to speak to us, to understand more of His truth. So I'm just going to pray now and ask God to do that as we come to look at His Word now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Word, the Bible. Thank you for its truth. In a world that is full of fake news and untruths, it's lovely to be able to open the Bible and to know real truth. And Lord, we pray as the power of your word is proclaimed, that your spirit would be at work in our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Well, there are many reasons why people might climb a tree. One, because they love climbing. Maybe two, because they want to show off. Three, because I've seen people climb trees to rescue cats, and I've also seen parents climb up trees to rescue overly ambitious children. Some climb a tree to get a better view, and others, like Zacchaeus, well, they climb a tree to be able to see anything at all. Here are some Sri Lankan cricketers that I found online this past week that climbed trees to be able to see their team play Australia. And then earlier this year, I love this one. This was fans of FC Getafe wanting to watch Barcelona, and they found a way. They climbed the top of the tree. Well, we may have heard of Zacchaeus in the Bible because he climbed a tree. But truth be told, millions of people down through history, and I'm sure many of us today, have climbed a tree, and nothing's been written about us. You see, the truth is that we know about Zacchaeus not because he climbed a tree, but because he interacted with the Lord Jesus Christ whilst he was in a tree, or that's where it started. That is why we know about Zacchaeus. That is how the author, Luke, who wrote this account, had heard about Jesus. Luke tells us in chapter 1 that he fully investigated everything he could about Jesus to tell a friend. And in the Holy Spirit's leading, Luke wrote down this account of Zacchaeus, and we have it in our Bibles today. As a church, we've been studying the book of Ephesians together on Sundays, and whilst we're not in Ephesians today, I'm sure many of you would have spotted a link to Ephesians as Lizzie was thankfully reading the Bible to us. Verse 10, this is what we read, "For the Son of Man," that is a title for Jesus. Luke is saying, "For Jesus came to seek and to save the lost." Well, that is what the Apostle Paul has also been teaching us in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, that it is God, through Jesus, who takes the initiative and seeks out men and women, boys and girls, and saves spiritually lost people. That is the testimony of Zacchaeus. That is also the testimony that we've just heard from Mia, and of Megan, and of Josh. Jesus is still seeking and saving lost people today. Well, I've got two main points as we quickly think about this account. And the first one is simply this: Zacchaeus was lost. Although he doesn't appear to be, does he? As Lizzie was reading the account, if you were just to read verses 1 and 2, you'd think, what? He's not lost. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus entered Jericho, likely the town where I don't want to keep saying Zacchaeus all the way through, so he's going to be shortened to Zach. That's likely where Zach lived. Now, I don't always do this, but this week I came across a historian that was talking about what Jericho was like. And you know, it sounded like a great place to live. It was known apparently as the City of Palms, and it was regarded as a lovely little paradise full of sycamores, cypress trees, rose gardens and large sweet-scented plantations. It had this great year-round climate, and it was great for business because it was situated on a key travel route from Damascus to Arabia. So it was a perfect place to live, especially if you happen to be a tax collector. And then in verse 2, we read that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. The more generic tax collector title that is used quite frequently in the New Testament. This chief tax collector, it's the only time it's used. This is the only chief tax collector we read of in the Bible. So he had progressed in his career. And then lastly, verse 2 tells us that he was wealthy. What is it you might say today, Josh? Loaded. Dad, he was flush. This guy had loads of money. Clearly not. I don't know what the modern lingo is. That's what we used to use at school. I think, you know, he would fit in with how our society has generally taught us to gauge success. What job have you got? What job did you have? What car do you drive? Where do you live? How much do you take home? How successful have you been? I reckon we all know a postcode or two or a location where houses are sold at a premium and where they look lovely places to live. Perhaps we would aspire to want to live there. What a picture verses 1 and 2 paint of Zacchaeus' life. But then we read on and we see it wasn't all great. Verse 3 tells us that he was short. Now, I've got a couple of friends who might be considered short. And I can tell you, they know what it's like to have the mick taken out of them at school or even fun made of them in the office because of their height. I'm sure there were occasions when Zacchaeus wished he was a bit taller. And sometimes being short, well, it has practical disadvantages as well. It's why Zacchaeus couldn't initially see Jesus because he was short. And then, of course, there's Zac's popularity or lack of it. In fact, this man Zacchaeus, he may have been the most despised person in Jericho. As far as his fellow Jews were concerned, he worked for the enemy. This man worked for the Romans. And not only did he work for the Romans, he took Jewish money and gave it to the Romans. Notice how the people refer to Zac when he welcomes Jesus to his home. This is what they say. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. You see, they're actually criticizing Jesus. What on earth are you doing, Jesus, going to spend time with this man who is a sinner? That they're criticizing Jesus, but their judgment on Zacchaeus is clear, isn't it? He is a sinner. He has done wrong. Sorry, Quentin, I'm not pointing at you. Or anyone. And they were right. You see, that the Romans would give a tax collector an amount to charge for taxes, say 10%. But Zac would be able to charge more, and he'd be able to pocket the excess. And I think it's clear in our passage that actually he charged excessively more. Actually, he cheated other people. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says, "If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Well, you simply wouldn't say that or make that promise unless you had cheated people. You see, Zacchaeus was a sinner, and he knew it. And it is our sin before a holy and perfect God that causes our lostness. Nothing else. It doesn't make a difference if we're short or tall, if we're popular or unpopular. No, it is our sin. It is the wrong things we have done, the mistakes that we've all made. And when we become aware of our sin in our lives, you know, it is a heavy burden to bear. In the world's eyes, you see, some of these things would probably, people just say, well, they offset. You know, his home, his job, his wealth, well, surely that just offsets with the fact that you're a little bit short and you're a little bit unpopular. You know, we hear people saying, don't we, in life, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. You've got to take the ups and the downs. That's life. But without Jesus, unforgiven sin before a holy God, well, that can never be balanced out. That's what the Bible tells us. And the Bible says it separates us from our Creator, one day forever. This is what Isaiah said 700 years before Jesus walked on this earth. But your iniquities... He's saying, your sin have separated you from God. Now, sometimes sin is clear for others to see. Our media loves to highlight other people's shortcomings. Surely we've seen it in the news even this past week. He or she, they've done wrong. Look at this story. And here's the other truth. We actually quite like reading about other people's mistakes and shortcomings. That's why the news is reported as it is, because we read it. And we love to make our own judgments. Yeah, I think they have done wrong. Other times, though, in fact, I think most of the time, our sin, our mistakes, that the wrong things that we do, the wrong things that we think, the wrong things that we say, well, they're not seen by others. But the Bible teaches us that God sees them. God, as the children were sharing their memory verse, God knows our hearts. He sees into the deepest places of our hearts. Here's an unpopular truth that Jesus taught, and a truth that the Bible still teaches us today. Do you know, we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of God's standards. That included all those in the crowd that were pointing the finger at Zacchaeus. You're a sinner. Well, there were three fingers pointing back at them. It includes all of us today. Actually, we've all done wrong. We've all fallen short of God's standard. And just because some of us are good at hiding our sin, forgetting about our sin, or worse still, actually justifying our sin, well, I did that because of how I was brought up, or I did that because this happened to me. Whether we forget or we try and justify our sin, you know, it doesn't remove its existence. It's there in our hearts. And even if the world changes its opinion over what is wrong and what is right, do you know what we see in the Bible is that God's opinion never changes. Our greatest sin is how we reject God, the God who made us, how we ignore his love to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus, who is the only one who can forgive us. I don't know exactly how Zach heard about Jesus. And I don't know what he heard exactly. But I have a good idea, because like Megan, like Mia, like Josh, I've actually read a bit about Jesus in the Bible. I wonder whether or not you've read a little bit about Jesus in the Bible. Because if you do read a little bit about Jesus in the Bible, you'll understand how we're never fully grasped just how famous and popular Jesus was when he walked on this earth. You know, forget Harry Styles or Taylor Swift, or was it Brad Pitt at the British Grand Prix the other weekend? You know, 2,000 years ago, there was no social media, radio, TV. Yet news about Jesus just traveled far and wide. He was known for his incredible teaching. He spoke with authority. The stories he told, you know, his stories were thought-provoking, and they had real meaning to them. You didn't want to miss a word. And then, of course, there were the vast number of amazing miracles that he performed around 15 miles away from Jericho. Jesus had raised Lazarus to life in Bethany. You can read about that in John chapter 11. And what's more, Jesus never once turned away anyone who came to him. Therefore, wherever Jesus went, there were huge crowds that wanted to see him. There were huge crowds waiting for Jesus to come. So you might say in one sense, well, Zach then, well, he wasn't different to anyone else. There were loads of people and they all wanted to see Jesus. But actually, I think Luke tells us a little bit more. Luke tells us in verse 3, and this is, we have to take note of this, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Who Jesus was. See, that's a little bit more than just wanting to see someone famous. Who Jesus was. Maybe he was wondering, was Jesus as compassionate as he had heard? Was he? Did he really have God's power? Would this man who spoke with real authority help him to get right with God? Could it be that Jesus, unlike everyone else in Jericho, might actually have time for a known cheat? Could it be? Who is this Jesus? God tells us this in Jeremiah 29. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I believe we see that a little bit with Zacchaeus in this account that Luke records. You see, he wanted to know who Jesus really was. And despite the huge crowd and probably his inability to get to the front row, and certainly as we're told in the Bible, he couldn't see over the top of them, that wouldn't stop him. He wanted to see who Jesus was, to check him out for himself. And so he goes and does what would have been very undignified 2,000 years ago as a grown man, climbs a tree. And in their own ways, you see, that's exactly what me and Mia, that was a cross between Megan and Mia then, Mian, that's what Mia, Megan and Josh have done. They've looked at their own hearts. They've realized they too are sinners. And they just saw something in Jesus that was different. They saw something in Jesus as they read a little bit about him, as they were taught a little bit about him, that they thought, Jesus can help me. Jesus can give me hope. Because I've got to be honest, even as a child, looking out in the world, and we see it all the time as adults, there's no hope out there. Jesus can give hope. And they found Jesus' own words to be true. You see, Jesus said this, "For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So Zacchaeus was lost, but he sought Jesus to see who he was. Secondly, Zacchaeus was found and saved by Jesus. This is ultimately the story of every true Christian. Some of us knew that we were lost. Others of us didn't realize just how lost we were until Jesus came and found us. And when we meet Jesus, do you know, it is always special. This is what we read in verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Jesus knew his name. You ever thought about that? How did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? The small travel business I used to work at was bought by a big American company. And everyone loved our new, bold American CEO. He appeared to know not only quite a lot about the business, but he actually knew our names, and he knew a little bit about what we did working in that business. And we just thought he was great, and this man is really interested in us. Well, as I started to work for him, I actually saw how he did it. You see, his PA would contact all the managers in his business, in his businesses, and ask annually for a profile of their staff and a picture. And as he was traveling to visit his annual visit at a business unit, he'd be revising and memorizing all those pictures. And it appeared great to staff, because when he turned up, it's like he's been thinking about us the whole year he's been away. He remembers my name. He knows now what I've been doing this year. Well, I enjoyed working for this man, but you know, some of the magic was lost when I saw behind the scenes. And he never once asked me about my staff apart from that, just before he's about to visit. Jesus didn't need to do any work behind the scenes. Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name. How? Well, the Bible tells us many times. He is the Son of God. He knows each of our names here this morning. And we are always on his mind, not just once a year. And incredibly, whatever we have done, however much we may have ignored Jesus all our lives, you know, Jesus has time for us. I think that's why, one of the reasons why we're all here this morning. We may have lots of different reasons why we're here this morning, but one of the reasons is, and I would say it is the key reason, Jesus still has time for all of us. Whether we've been following Jesus for 50 years or whether or not we've ever paid him no attention whatsoever, Jesus has time for us. And as Jesus stops right in front of this sycamore tree, do you know, we realize that he had time even for Zacchaeus. I have no idea what Zac was expecting that day when he set off to see who Jesus really was, but I bet he wasn't expecting this to happen. Can you imagine if you go to see your favorite band singing? I saw some highlights of Glastonbury the other week. And your favorite performer is singing, you're at the back of the crowd and you're waving or you're trying to sing along. Where's Nigel? Nigel's got a great singing voice. Yeah, you're trying to stay away from people like Nigel that can't sing that great. but you're having a great time. And then suddenly, so you've got to choose who you pick on. But suddenly in that concert, you're having a great time, waving away, maybe dancing. The concert just stops. And the lead singer, she just walks out in the crowd. And he comes to you, of all people, and he stops in front and just starts having a chat with you. And they said, when we finish, can we go for a bite to eat together? It's incredible. You see, Jesus had time for Zacchaeus. And you know, meeting the Lord Jesus, it never, never, ever disappoints. Let me tell you another story. Back in 2005, I went to the final Ashes test match in 2005, and I was really hopeful about meeting some England cricket players. And I knew a shortcut through, this is my dad's knowledge, not my own, by the way, I knew a shortcut as to how to get to the underneath the players' balcony. And I was quite excited, and up on this balcony, some of the English cricketers were there, and the new superstar of English cricket was sitting there as well, Kevin Peterson, or KP as he became known. And I thought, this is great. And I was handing my programme up to all the players, and they were all signing it and handing it back. The only person who just completely ignored me and refused to sign my programme was Kevin Peterson. Moments later, a young girl came up who followed me in the little path that I learned, and he signed her programme straight away. You see, sometimes meeting famous people is a massive letdown. Just be warned. They're only human. It is different when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. He never lets us down. It is actually always better than we expect when we meet with Jesus. And sometimes we look back over our lives and we didn't realize just how great it is to have Jesus always by our side. It doesn't promise us an easy life. There are members of this church right now going through really difficult times. But he is always with us and he will always get us through. It is always better meeting Jesus than we ever expect. And that day, maybe even at his first words, maybe even at the first words of Jesus, Zacchaeus places his faith in him and Jesus saves him. His life is transformed. Now, some people ask, how can we be sure, Malcolm, that this man's life, that he was saved, that his life was transformed? Well, let me give you, as we draw to a close, three quick answers to that. We know that he was saved, firstly, by his obedience. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. And did you notice verse 6? So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Why are Megan, Mia, and Josh being baptized today? Because they want to be obedient to a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not being pressurized by us as a church. They're not being pressurized by their parents to be baptized. They want to follow in Jesus' commands, to be obedient. That is why. And I think just here, I think there's a really good challenge for those of us that have been baptized, for those of us that are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, to think about our own obedience to Jesus' commands. How are we doing following his teaching? Are we still obedient, or are we trying to be obedient in his help to all his commands, or do we pick and choose? How are we doing with forgiveness? How are we doing with putting others first? Are we still being obedient? And do we respond with the immediacy that we once did? Zacchaeus at once gets down. Some of us, yeah, we're still obedient, but we take our time before we're obedient, don't we? One, he was obedient. Secondly, his actions. Just a chapter earlier in Luke's gospel, you can read about a rich man who came to see Jesus, and Jesus challenged him about his wealth and how important his wealth was in his life. And we read that that man, well, he went away sad. Well, what a contrast here to reading about Zacchaeus. Jesus doesn't even seemingly make a comment, and yet Zacchaeus stands up and he says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. You don't have to do that, by the way, if you become a Christian, but it is to highlight who was now Lord of Zac's life. It was no longer this great place where he lived, his wealth or his job. It was Jesus. Did you notice the way he addresses him? Look, Lord, you'll hear me asking, if I don't forget my words, Megan Mia and Josh a question. Are they seeking to serve Jesus as their Lord in a few moments' time? When we truly place our faith in Jesus, it's not that other people or other things don't matter. They do. God tells us that they do. And our love for other people actually grows as we learn more about forgiving them and showing our love in forgiveness. It's just that Jesus matters more. He saved us. He is our Lord. Third reason, and I think best of all, that we know this man was saved, we have the words of Jesus himself. Today, salvation has come to this house. Notice that he doesn't say tomorrow. He doesn't say, Zacchaeus, you've got to work off all that cheating and then maybe you'll get into heaven. No, he says today, salvation has come to this house. What assurance a Christian finds in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a verse I'm sure some of you will be familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. You have to ask yourself, how was salvation possible for Zacchaeus? Well, let me try and explain how it was possible. It is because he came down from the tree. It is because he believed in Jesus and was obedient to Jesus. And it is because Jesus was obedient to God the Father and went up onto a tree, went to a cross to give his perfect, holy, innocent life up for sinners like Zacchaeus. For all his cheating and for all the sin that we don't know about, for Megan's sins, for Mia's sins, for Josh's sins, for my sins, for the sins of everyone here who would believe in Jesus or who will believe in Jesus, Jesus died to pay the price with a holy and a just God. Someone had to pay the price, and Jesus did. God's own Son. This is how Peter, the disciple of the Lord Jesus, explains what happens at the cross. For Christ, that is Jesus Christ, also suffered once for sins, the righteous, or the perfect, for the unrighteous, for the unperfect, us, to bring you to God. You see, Jesus bridged the chasm. Our sin separates us, it has to, from a holy and perfect God. But what we see at the cross is that Jesus bridged that gap, if we would just believe in him and place our faith in him. That's why Luke wrote about how Zacchaeus came to trust in Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why it's recorded for us today. Well, it wasn't straightforward for Zacchaeus to get to see who Jesus was, but it was worth it. Let me ask you all a question here today, if you're not a Christian. Will you make an effort to see who Jesus really is today? It will be worth it. Amen.